think I've said this before, but one of the advantages of us having Dr. Reisner as our pastor, we get to use his friends. He has some good friends, and we're pleased to have one with us again today. Dr. Brown, Dr. James Brown, has been with us several times in the past, and we look forward to having him each time, and we look forward to hearing from you today. Thank you, sir, for coming.
Good morning, all. Happy to see you today. It's always great to come to this place. Like for you to put yourself in my place as I drive from Clemson down to Greenville and down to, what is it, exit 2 out here that says to Clinton and up Leesville Church Road. And you pass a few farms, and then on the right you find the little church in the Wildwood. Some of you remember that song even, I'm sure. And when I come in, it always gives me a sense of comfort because we live in a day of great change. You know that, I'm sure. And there are some things that don't change, some things that are slow to change. When I come to this place, I just like to wander around the grounds for a few minutes before I actually come in, as I did today, and see the things that have not changed, and some things that were here that I didn't notice. I wonder, for that bell choir, how many of you are in the bell choir? Raise your hands. I'd like to be here some Sunday when that choir plays. I think that would be really nice. This morning, I'm a little bit sad. I was working at a little farm that we bought down in Tennessee yesterday. It has an old house built in the 20s. The barn is bigger than the house. We have a corn crib. So that means we'll have rat killings a little later on. Have a spring house. I was working there yesterday, and we're doing some real remodeling and packed up all the stuff, locked up all the doors, drove off. 25 minutes later, I asked an important question. Where's my phone? You know how lost you feel without a phone? Man, I do. On my phone, I can access all of the files for my business. I can run accounting software, which is what I do by trade. I have, I don't know, maybe 1,000 books that I can access on my phone. I can play games. How many of you play games on your phone? Don't be playing during church. I can access the Bible on my phone. I actually play chess with my son-in-law over the phone. So phones are, boy, I feel lost without it. I started to drive back and get it. And I asked myself, can I make it till Thursday, which is when we're going back up for the weekend? Can I make it till Thursday without my phone? And I'm not sure. I sort of feel lost, sort of feel sad. Now I know what Hillary felt like on election night. Just sort of lost. I may have to stop by Sam's at their little Verizon Center and replace that phone. It's right close to replacement date, so I'm just going to have to see about that. Now, this morning as well is a first. And it's a first because it is the first time I've ever used a computer while I'm preaching. So here goes. I hope the battery doesn't die. And it feels sort of funny to say, would you turn in your iPads to Psalm 23? This one has a facial recognition feature on it. It's supposed to be a security measure that the only person that can sign into this is the person that has this face. And it worked well for a while, and when it recognizes my face, it always says, "Welcome, James." Except about 3 days ago, I got up early and hadn't combed my hair, brushed my teeth, washed my face. And it said, "Please go put your face on." Kind of bad. What I'd like to talk to you about this morning is Jesus, our Good Shepherd. And for that, I'm not going to ask you to turn your iPad, but I would like for you to turn in your scriptures to John chapter 10. Before I read this, I'd like to set a little bit of the context. When the Bible talks about shepherds, as it often does, talking about one of the oldest professions in history, it's also talking about one of the most important professions in history. You live here in an area that I think majors in agriculture, and so it wouldn't be a stretch for you to think of how important it would be in the United States or the world to think of a world without the farming profession, the agriculture profession, the shepherd's profession. They did it a little bit differently back in the day when Jesus was alive than they do compared to today. For instance, if you can picture some of that terrain in Israel and in the Middle East, you know there wasn't such a thing as a lush green pasture. You know that the hills were often rocky, very little vegetation, and the person who was the shepherd in those days often wandered far from home with his sheep, and they would look for green pastures, not an easy thing to find. And they would often be out among the hills and all the things that are wild and preying animals that were there. And they would build what they called a sheepfold. Generally, it would be out of something like rocks where they would make a rock wall, or maybe with sticks they would fashion something that would look like a fence. And at night, when the shepherds would bring their sheep to safety, they would bring them to that fold. And so picture then what Jesus is saying in light of what we've just told you. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 16 tell us. Jesus is speaking and he says, "Truly, truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him. But they will be, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly." Focus on these words. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. And he flees because he is hired hand, cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. And so there will be one flock and one shepherd." Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And Jesus said it to a group of people who very well knew what he was talking about and could picture and understand what he was talking about. I'd like to, for this morning, talk about the shepherd and what we find about the shepherd in the Bible. And then I'd like to talk about the good shepherd. You see, if we look at the history of Israel, we find that they were people who were in captivity in Egypt for some 400 years before Moses led them out to become a nation. He led them across the Red Sea and then across the desert of Sinai, where they wandered for 40 years. And then they were brought into a land that God had promised them. It is interesting to me that later, several hundred years later, when people referred to Moses, they called him the shepherd of Israel. Then we go further and look at David. We know David to be a stalwart man. One of the things that's so interesting to me about David is when we first see him come on the scene. And the first record we have of David is when he killed Goliath. Picture him before King Saul. And Saul is really unconvinced that David can actually come before Goliath, the giant, the man of war, because all we have is a young shepherd boy. And he's questioning David, and David says, "Well, let me tell you. I was out tending my father's sheep, and a lion came. And I ran." He didn't say that, did he? You know what he says? He says, "I grabbed that lion by its mane, and I tore it and killed it." Now, that's a shepherd. He says, "As a matter of fact, a bear came. I didn't run." He said, "I grabbed it by its back of its neck and I tore it and I killed it." I say, that's a shepherd. Do you remember how Jesus said, "Those who are hirelings, those who are really not shepherds, when they see the wolf coming, they run. But the shepherd, the true shepherd, will give his very life for the sheep. And that's, it wasn't something that they were necessarily trained to do, but there was something in the heart of a true and good shepherd that would cause him to give his very life in defense of the sheep, should that need arise. Isn't that amazing? Well, David, then, if we look at him as the shepherd, we can look further at him as what is called the shepherd king. Psalm 78 talks about the history of Israel. And in there we see that there is a record of constant, continuous, cyclical rebellion by the people of Israel. It goes like this. God wanted to help them, and he would provide them what they needed. They would disobey. God would visit them with punishment and the result of their sin, and they would cry out to God, and he would listen, and he would forgive them, and then that cycle just began to repeat itself. As they enjoyed the good things of God, then they would somehow forget who it was that was really blessing them. They would turn to a life of sin and forgetfulness of God. And then their sin and its results would kick in again, and they would be in trouble. They would call out to God. Well, during one of those times, it says that they had rebelled and called out to God, and it said, so God provided them a king from the sheepfold, and he led them by the integrity of his heart and fed them with skillful hands. That was David, the shepherd. We can look further in the book of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 34, I would recommend you to read it sometime in light of this shepherd concept that we find in Scripture. It says, and now I want to utter a parable against the shepherds of Israel. He says, shepherds of Israel, you have supposed to have been watching over the sheep, and instead you are slaughtering the sheep when they get fat and you're eating them, but you've not kept my sheep. You've let them wander across the wilderness. You have not fed the young. You have not bound up those that are wounded and broken. You haven't been good shepherds. God was saying something about the shepherds that I think is even applicable to today. You see, God looked at the leaders of Israel as shepherds. And he says, just as a shepherd takes care of the sheep, so you are to watch over the people. And you're to do things and to decide things that are in the best interests of the people. Think about it today. How would public policy change if the leaders actually looked at themselves as shepherds of the people? That they were to take care of the people? What do you think would change in government? What do you think would change in our country, the presidential levels, or the state government levels, or local and city government levels, if people just would think as leaders, I am a shepherd, I'm supposed to be watching over these people. And if they were cognizant of that every day, of their service, I think it would be a different day. Don't you? I think that in our country, as I evaluate our country, maybe you see this differently, but as I evaluate our country and the directions that we are going, I think we are rapidly forgetting about God. I think the attitudes of the public have become so far from being cognizant of what God would have us to do in public policy. I really think that. And I would like to see some shepherds. God calls the leaders of the country shepherds. You know another group that he calls shepherds? That's pastors. The word pastor actually is from the Greek word that is shepherd. And we can think about the Latin word for that matter, pastor, and it means shepherd. And it talks about the things that are supposed to happen, that attitude that is supposed to permeate when a person is placed in spiritual authority and spiritual leadership over a group of people such as yourself. So that's what we see about the Scripture and its teaching concerning shepherds. Then, picture also David one day. Not sure what day. It could possibly have been when he was on the mountains alone with his sheep. It could have been when he was sitting on the throne of Israel as their leader. But he was thinking about shepherds, and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." I don't think there's probably a person in this room that cannot quote most of Psalm 23. David, in his reflective moment, talked about the Lord being his shepherd, and he says, "First of all, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by cool, clear, calm water. He restores my soul. Even though I should walk in the valley of death's shadow, I will fear no evil, Lord, because you, my shepherd, are with me. Your rod, even in the day of trouble," he says, "even though I would walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your rod, your staff comfort me. Even in the presence of my enemies, you prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. I have all the abundance. Surely goodness, mercy is going to follow me because you're my shepherd, and I will dwell in the Lord's house forever." Psalm 80 talks about the Lord being the shepherd, and he says, "Lord, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead your flock like a shepherd." Isaiah saw it. Isaiah 40 says, "He shall lead his flock like a shepherd, and he shall carry the lambs in his bosom, on his shoulder, close to his heart, and he will gently lead those who are with young." That's God the shepherd. I talked to you just a few moments ago about Ezekiel chapter 34. And Ezekiel chapter 34 talks about the bad shepherds, and then the Lord says, "You've been bad shepherds, so here's what I'm going to do. I am going to be your shepherd. I will lead you. I will rescue you. I will make you to lie down in green pastures. I will provide a shepherd. And then, several centuries later, Jesus stands before the people and he says, I'm the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. You see, when we talk about shepherds, we also have to talk about sheep. Sheep is us. I was wondering as I came here this morning, Lord, did you ever have the temptation to call your sheep goats? I look at myself and feel like a goat sometimes, and maybe you do. But the Lord calls us sheep in need of a shepherd. One of the things I'd like to remind you about is sheep, as well as shepherds, have a job. You see, the job of the shepherd is to take care. The job of the sheep is to follow and obey. When Jesus is talking about this, he says, you know, when sheep are in the sheepfold and the shepherd comes to the door of the sheepfold, he calls out, and the sheep recognize his voice, and they follow. Somebody else can come. As a matter of fact, it would probably be amazing and astounding for us to see in a sheepfold there would be sheep owned by several shepherds. And one shepherd would come and call out for his sheep, and those would follow him. Another shepherd would come and call out, and those sheep that he owned would follow him. Then if you or I came and started calling out because those sheep weren't out, they wouldn't follow you. But they follow the shepherd. The question that I would ask about the sheep today is, you see, Jesus is placing himself in a special relationship to us, our sheep. And he says, I give my life for the sheep. That means that we've come to him and we've called him our Savior, our Shepherd. To put it in terms we can understand, it means we're Christians. That's who he's talking to. He says, I am the shepherd of the sheep, those who really believe in me and follow me. Here's the question. How are we doing as sheep? Are there things that God is talking to you about as your shepherd and maybe talks to you on a daily basis, maybe an occasional basis, looks at the things you're doing well and gives you, I don't know if he says attaboy, but something along that line. And then he, through the Spirit, talks to you about some areas where you may be wandering away and really not listening to his voice. How are we doing as sheep? Sheep have a job. I'd like to leave you with this thought. A shepherd has a job as well. And the shepherd has the job of leading and taking care of and comforting in the midst of trouble. So I ask you, what is it about your life today that really needs to hear the voice of the shepherd? I know that in my own life there are things. And things that are sort of peculiar to this stage of life that I'm in today. I'm 63. It was fun being 15 sometimes. It was fun being 25. It was fun being 40. And those days, are marked by strength and energy and vitality. And now I'm 63. And there are some things that my life is now marked by that didn't used to be. Tylenol, extra energy pills, Red Bull drinks to keep me awake. And, you know, we can go on with that. Point of it is this, that at this stage of life where I am today and where you are today, many of you will find that there are things such as youth is gone and it's a different day. The Lord is still our shepherd in times like that, and He says, I lack nothing. That's what David would say. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. Whatever might be your stage of life today, the Lord is your shepherd. It's interesting, this morning as I was driving here, it's about an hour and a half drive, I began to sing, and the songs came to my mind that happened to be in the bulletin. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use, thy fold's prepared. You know who that song was written by? I looked in the bulletin. I didn't know who it was written by, but it's kind of interesting who it was written for. In 1836, it was written as a hymn for the young. Young people, those of you who are in elementary school or middle school or in your fifth year of high school, the Lord is your shepherd, and He wants to be with you and guide you every day. I'd like for you to stand, if you will, for the benediction and for the doxology. Let's bow together. Lord, we thank You that You're our shepherd, and that Your being our shepherd means that You watch over us every moment of every day. That's Your job, something that You do with delight. And our job is to listen to Your voice and to follow You. Lord, we thank You that You are the good shepherd and that we are Your sheep. Help us to go through every day realizing just what You are to us and what You've done for us. In Jesus' name.